Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another What Atta Said podcast, where we share our candid conversations about life, love, and everything in between. My name is Antoinette, and today I am joined by the one and only Audrey.
Hello, and I am not laggy today. I credit it to the fact that I have 5G injected directly into my veins. So, we're ready today. We're not going to be lagging. I'm not a laggy sister today.
Oh, she's good. I can hear you nice and clear, Audrey. Just what I like. It's just you and me today.
Yes, it is. It's the older Atas today. Yes. We left the little ones to themselves last week, and it's just us today. It is just us. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, as I said, my name is Antoinette, and it's also been a while since I've been on an episode.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's been a while. You and I got the jab last week and we weren't feeling up to par last weekend.
No.
And then the week before that, I was unwell. The week before that was red flags in a first date.
Yeah. So you weren't in an episode for quite like nearly a month.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
It's so strange. I was like, me, ma, trying to get my... podcast juices flowing this morning. Yeah, it's been a while. So we are missing Vinning and Eliza today because we are filming portion two of the Ask Ate episode, where Audrey and I will be asking some of the same questions from Loy and Vinning's question, with addition to a few new ones that came through from our lovely listeners and friends. If you haven't already listened to Vinning and Eliza's episode, please do. It's live. It's hilarious.
Yes.
Quality content. So that's what we'll be doing today. Are you ready, Audrey?
I am so ready. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
I need a warm up as well.
Okay.
I really need a warm up. Today's just not one of those days, you know? So
guys,
warm me up, Antoinette.
It took us 20 minutes to figure out this Zencaster thing without Vinning or Loy.
Oh, God. You can tell that we're the older ones because, technology. I'm going to be one of those titas that just like, anak, how do I log into Facebook?
Same. I don't understand. I can never understand why my parents always want the newest gadgets, but they don't know how to use them.
Yes.
And now I understand why. It's just like... ignorance is bliss. Like, why when you have other people to do it for you?
Agree.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's do a little warm-up for us. Audrey needs a warm-up today. I surely need a warm-up for this episode. So for my icebreaker, Audrey, I wanted to ask you quickly, can you name any unpopular opinions?
Okay. I have given this some thought, and I'm ready to like lash out on not lash out, but release it to the world. I'm sorry, but Mamamoo is better than Blackpink.
Oh god.
Good thing Vinning's not here.
What ways? What makes you say that?
You know, they just have better stage presence. Their performances live are just that much more. Like, it just gives more flavor. I just love Mamamoo much more than I love Blackpink. And
oh my gosh, my heart really, is beating
it's,
so
it's
fast.
Been a, it's been a burden on my chest, honestly.
Has it? I'm sure. Oh my goodness, my heart's beating fast, Audrey.
I am too. I'm really anxious about letting that go. And then
the backlash.
The backlash. I'm sorry, guys. So that's my unpopular opinion for today. Oh. Antoinette, what are yours?
Okay, so I thought of this the other day, but I think the Resident Evil movies are a great binge watch. Have you seen all of the Resident Evil movies?
No, I actually haven't. I can't recall ever watching one. Maybe it might have been playing in the background at a party or something, but I don't recall watching any. So I will put that on my list because there's nothing else to watch during lockdown.
Look,
what makes you say that?
Because it's notorious for just getting shittier and shittier the more movies they made. But that's why I say it's such a good binge watch, because the first one is great. Like, everyone knows the first one, the T-Virus, like Mila, whatever her name is, whatever her last name is. She's great, but they just got more ridiculous as they go on. But I love them.
Okay, I'll put on the list. I will put on the list. We were going to do a binge watch, actually, of Fast and Furious. Would you do that?
I would
do that. Like, that's also, I feel like that would probably be on the same level of Resident Evil. It starts off good, and then eventually it just gets to, why are they in space?
Yeah. But I feel like people still gave Fast a try even after Paul Walker's passing, because there were some good elements. You know, they brought in Hobbs and Shaw, like their characters and stuff. That was fun. And then I think the last two, it was like,
what is
that? You should stop now.
They're not gonna, it's not gonna
happen. No, I don't think so. Another one that I had, Audrey, was I really thoroughly prefer and love daytime napping, like when the sun is beaming into the room and it's creating this warm cast in the room, over rainy weather naps.
She didn't say it. Oh my God, she said it. I'm joking. No, I agree.
You agree?
Well, dogs do it, don't they? Dogs do it. They love to sunbathe. So yeah, you get like a natural blanket. So I agree with you.
Yes. Okay, good. Because everyone loves napping during rain time, and I just feel like it makes me even more depressed.
Oh no, yes, I agree. But then I understand why people love napping during rain time, because then you don't have to deal with the depression. You're just sleeping.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess there's nothing to do but nap, because you can't really go outside.
Yeah. But today's not one of those days. So today I'm going to be seeing you nap instead, right?
Yes, girl. Yes. Sorry. Nap weather.
Just a disclosure to our listeners. If you hear barking in the background, my dogs are here. My apologies.
They are
not like Benny. They are not like Benny at all. So they are the ones where I just say, why can't you be like your cousin Benny? Sorry to our listeners.
Benny has been really, really, I think because of lockdown and having us here 24/7, he feels a need to protect us all the time. So he's really antsy at the moment. So usually if someone would just knock on the door, then he would bark just to be like, hey, I'm here. But now it's if he hears our neighbor scooter past us on the sidewalk, like he'll get really antsy. But no, he's no angel. He's got his quirks too. Don't worry about it, guys. So if you hear Benny, that's Benny. Do you have any more unpopular opinions?
Oh, my last popular opinion was going to be noodles are better than rice. Oh dear, I released another one.
Okay, now you're gonna get me cross.
Okay. I had a feeling this would offend you, because I know that you love rice.
I feel personally attacked by you right now, Audrey Cohey. Where did you come up with that?
I came up with it from my heart and soul, Antoinette. I bare my soul before you. And I'm sorry that it offended you, but it's true. Noodles are better. Hey, wait. What about with pasta? You would prefer spaghetti to risotto?
Yeah. All right. I'll let you have that one.
Yes, I got it. Nailed it.
Okay. Okay. But there will be people that will agree with you. I feel like Jerome would agree with you.
Yeah, heavily. Noodles. You just get the... Sorry, guys. Sorry for that sound. But yeah, that sound, you know?
Yeah. The satisfaction of the slurp.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I released two controversial items today. My apologies to anybody offended.
She's shocking us today. She's shocking the world. Shock the world. All right. So now that we've gotten our little warm-up out of the way, are you ready for today's Q&A, Audrey?
I am so ready. Let's get it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to start off with a question that Eloisa and Vinning already answered for us. And it's one where they took turns answering for one another. So the question is, what is something people would be surprised to know you're good at? So I will be answering for the three Ates. So the thing that I'll say for Eloisa is, I feel bad, but I'm going to be copying Vinny's answer, but she's very artistic, you know? Uh-huh. She has a good eye for things that look good. I don't think people would be surprised by that per se, but like painting,
sewing.
Yeah, she just has this knack for things that and is more handy than you think. You know?
Yeah.
For Vinning, my answer is she answered this for me, but I think people would be surprised to know that she's very patient.
Yeah.
Like she's very level headed. She's not quite surprised, I would say, but she's very level headed. And yeah, she has a patience around her that I don't think people would be quite privy to in the when they first see her or first meet her. Antoinette.
Oh, damn.
What am I going to say about you? I feel I'm going to copy the answer for Eloisa, cuz I think that people would be surprised that you're very hands-on. You're okay to get down and dirty with things, you know, and get your hands dirty so that you can get something done. So you really just get into it and do it yourself. That's my answer for the three of you.
Oh dear. Okay. I thought about this question and I felt like once the question's gone around three times around the sun, we would probably mirror some of the same answers.
Exactly what I did.
So I thought I want to talk about personality traits that people would be surprised that you guys have. So for Loy, her personality trait. Oh, it's hard because like people would know this about Loy, but I don't think they know the extent to how sweet Loy can be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the thing that I agree with you in that people would know about it because Eloisa is the kind of person that wears her heart on her sleeve.
Yeah.
She puts all her cards on the table, so like you get what you get with her kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And her friendliness is face value. Like the way that you see her, that's her personality, you know. She's very friendly, very bubbly, but also down to her core, she's very, very, very sweet.
Yes.
Vinning, I would say the same. Like she's extremely patient, but I want to speak to how level-headed Vinning is.
Yes.
And how conscientious she is about her decision making and dealings with people and her actions and what she says and how she says it. She's very spot on. Like she never puts a foot out of place, Vinny.
Agree.
Yeah. And with you,
me?
I thought about this. Yes. And I don't think, unless people are like your close friends or they've been drunk with you, but Audrey Cohee has a wicked sense of humor, especially when she's had a few.
She's like a monster that just comes out.
You are the funniest person, and I feel like our humors just mesh.
Yes.
And that's probably why when you and I are drunk, you and I are the loose gooses. Like,
I agree.
Running amok. It's nuts. But if I say something wicked and silly to Audrey, she'll throw it back. And that's what I mean by I don't think you would know this about Audrey unless you're in that situation with her or you've been a very long-time friend of Audrey's, but she's got a freaking cool-ass, wicked sense of humor.
No, I think actually, Antoinette, it might be accredited to the fact that I kind of grew up with your husband. So potentially my humor stems from him, so you can kind of thank him and credit him.
That's true. No, that right? He's got a wicked sense of humor as well.
Oh, he makes me laugh.
Okay, next question. If you turn gay for a celebrity, who would it be? Or do you have a free pass on a celebrity and you've discussed it with your partner already?
My answer is for the gay for a celebrity, I'm going to go on the Mamamoo theme. Oh. Hwasa from Mamamoo. Oh my God. Oh me, oh my.
Who, which one is that one? Is she the one that we said looks like my friend? She's hot.
Right? She has this like energy about her that's like, I'm going to dominate you. Yeah, dominate me, bitch.
Oh, Audrey likes that.
But in terms of a free pass for a celebrity, I actually don't have like a celebrity crush that's a male, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think because, you know, my celebrity, my man crush Monday every day is Andy.
Every day.
All day. who's your whole pass or the person that you would turn gay for?
The person I would turn gay for, Emrata, Emily Ratajkowski.
Ooh, yes. Hoo-wee.
She can get it.
Girl.
She can get it for me. And I have a whole pass for a few people, I would say.
Care to share?
Okay, so we've got Chris Evans, we've got Henry Cavill, we've got Dave Franco.
Oh, yes.
Not James. Dave. No. You know what? Let's throw Zac Efron in there. He could get it.
Just cause. Wait, just I'm gonna cause. Afterwards I'm gonna get you to rank them in order.
You can't.
You have to. So like if they were in a line, but you can only do one. Like, which one is the first one?
Should I rank them now?
Yes.
First one would be Chris Evans because I've seen videos of him and his dog and it's to die.
Oh.
Second, I'd say Dave Franco because I would want – Dave is the one that I would marry if we're doing shoot, marry, kill or whatever, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Henry Cavill. Chris
Evans, he has a dog. You would marry
him. Have
you
seen – oh, yeah, I know. True, but Dave would make me laugh, I feel.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And then it would go Zach and then probably Henry Cavill last.
Oh, I would put Henry Cavill before Zach because have you seen that chest?
I know.
Oh, goodness
in
gracious.
In Superman, the first Superman that he was in and he was coming out of the rain and he was shirtless, I've lost my shit in the cinema. I've forgotten that I was sitting right next to my then boyfriend. And sayonara, Jerome. Henry's in town.
Girl, don't worry. I agree. Now that you've listed those people, I'm kind of like, damn, maybe they should be my whole pass.
Right?
Wait, Oh, sorry. Yes? Yeah,
I like the ruggedly handsome as well as personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say, muscles. Have you given – and muscles, just throw them in there. Have you given a whole pass to your partner? What's his celebrity
He we haven't talked about it, but I joke about it all the time. His would definitely be Jessica Alba or the girl. I know he's obsessed with her to this day. The girl, the Euro-Asian that was in Smallville. Do you remember her name?
No. But I was thinking of Devon Aoki for some reason when you said Euro-Asian.
Who's Devon Aoki? Oh, yeah. Fast and Furious.
Yeah, Fast and Furious, because she's a Eurasian hottie.
I'm going to have to put it in our Instagram somehow with, like, a crop of photo of Jerome and this girl in. But she's really pretty. She's Euro-Asian, and she's got dark brown hair and green eyes. She was in Smallville, but he loves her.
I will check her out after.
How about Andy?
I think Andy's one is Selena Gomez. He just loves the – he loves girls with heart-shaped faces, hence – why he selected me. Like the cute girls, you know?
Oh.
You know, even the ones with the chubby cheeks. Like, yeah, Selena Gomez is defs his whole pass.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm really not a fan of Selena.
I'm sorry. We're like, the household is really like offending Antoinette today. And my apologies on our behalf.
Interesting. But does he like the way she carries herself, like other her look in total, or is it just like her face?
Her look in total.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially, you know, that recent, it's somewhat recent, the recent photo shoot she did for the swimwear line.
Uh-huh. She looked pretty there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her body and she was goals.
It was very colorful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So then when I showed him that, he was like, hooey.
I was also going to say if it's the fact that she's like Latina, but it's just her look.
Yeah, it's just her look.
Uh-huh.
He also likes Jennifer Lawrence because, yeah, he likes that kind of, you know, like a, you know, that kind of look.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now that you add Jennifer into the mix. Yeah. I get it.
Okay. So next question. Mm-hmm. If you won the Tats Lotto, would you keep your day job or quit? And why?
I would keep my day job.
Yes.
But I would go down to like part-time or something.
Yes. Agree.
Yeah.
Agree. For sure.
You're the same?
I'm the same. Yeah. I think that... what's your why?
Why? Because I feel like I would lose myself in the money if I didn't have some stability and something to work for and something to remind me that, hey, you got to work hard if you want to like provide. And it's not about we win money and we get to like live a good life. It's also about providing for your family and future generations and setting that example as well.
Mm. I'm the same. I think that I wouldn't be able to quit my day job because it gives, like, you know when you're on holiday for a long time and then you kind of just end up getting bored because there's, even if you have so much money, there's like a finite amount of things that you can do before you start to get bored. I feel like having the structure of work in my day definitely keeps me more level-headed and humble. And I don't want to lose myself in the money, like you said.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, so if we did win $10 million, what are the first things that you would spend your money on, apart from obviously paying off your loan, buying a house, charity, holidays, all of that stuff, like material things?
I would relocate Andy, myself, Russell and Yama to I love Japan, but I don't know if, like, given that my dogs need a lot of room and Japan doesn't have a lot of space, I would say Japan just in the first instance. Let's just say that I would relocate us to Japan for a year and then come back.
Oh
yeah,
so a relocation package.
Yeah, relocate. Funded by me. It's not funded by the organization. It's funded by me.
What other things?
It's three things. So, three. When I'm in Japan, I would get an obedience trainer for my dogs. It's expensive. I want to get one now. I would get an obedience trainer. So I would get an obedience trainer for my dogs. That's the next one. Mm-hmm. Third thing, I would go to... I don't know. I think I would just, what would I buy?
I didn't think about this either.
Yeah. I think I would splurge on a really fine dining night.
Would you buy a restaurant?
What the fuck?
You got 10 mil.
I feel like you wouldn't be, no, I wouldn't buy a restaurant. I feel like Andy would hate it. When I mentioned working in the hospital, He starts biting his nails in anxiety. I would not do that to him because it would. But I would definitely splurge on a a really good night, eating out in Japan.
You should do like entree, main, dessert, all at like the top restaurants, Michelin star restaurants or something.
And it would be a full day of it, not just dinner, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, if you could do breakfast at like a crazy place, lunch, and then dinner, and then your snacks are at like some Michelin thing or something. Oh my god, can you imagine?
Yeah. And then you fly to a different country to have dinner and then fly back to Japan.
Can you imagine that? Like breakfast in Korea. It's like, yeah.
Well that's these celebrities, like I've heard Cardi B and Kim Kardashian, they'll just fly out to Louisiana to get Popeyes.
What?
Yeah, on their jet. And Cardi B is always on Instagram stories and she's like, I went to New Orleans to get some seafood or something. Because she was craving while she was pregnant. Oh, I don't know.
This is why the climate change is occurring.
Because the celebrities need their seafood boil.
Yeah, what the heck? I'm over here like with my damn chicken thighs. What the heck is this? From Woolies? It ain't like, from New Orleans. What would you spend your $10 million on, Antoinette? Now you've been able to have your pending moment while I try to get through my three items.
Well, I didn't even have a pending moment. I was very into what you were saying, what you were selling.
Oh, I engaged you.
Okay, aside from everything.
It's hard because I think, I'm going to say, we're reasonable women.
Yes.
And it's hard not to think beyond those things of like debt. Charity, you know? So then like thinking of those things that are our luxury things, it's like, it's not even in our peripheral.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing I was going to add to that list that we can't mention was I would probably like go back and get an education.
Oh.
And do something that I like would really make me money later on down the track. Like Jerome was like, if he won the lotto, he would go back and study to be a doctor for sure.
Wow, actually, that is something, yeah.
Yeah, he says that all the time, but I guess that wouldn't be included in our materials list.
You know what, actually, though, I did see on Subtle Asian Traits that there was a dad who was in his 60s or 70s who graduated from being he became a doctor in his 60s and 70s. So, Queer Jerome, it's still possible.
It's still possible.
Still possible.
Oh, what would I buy? I'd probably buy like a really bougie car.
What's your dream car?
I don't know if it's still called the SLS, the Mercedes SLS with are they suicide doors on that one?
Is it the one
or
that go up?
Or scissor doors?
The ones that go up?
No, they're gullwing.
Oh, they go, right.
The gullwing, yeah.
Yeah.
That one. Or the Mercedes SUV, what is it called? G-Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else I would buy. I would just buy a whole bunch of stupid shit.
Would you buy Benny like a little granny house? How cute would that be?
I would buy Benny. I would get Benny a friend for sure.
Oh, yes. A corgi? Yes.
I would want like a little miniature Pomeranian. So we have a big we have a big Pomeranian and a little one.
Oh.
And they're friends. And they hold hands and sleep together.
They spoon? Can you imagine?
They spoon. Yes, maybe I would probably get Benny a whole bunch of friends.
And then you also get like a dog trainer so they look after them too, kind
yes.
of.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
they do yes. all the things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pick up the poo.
Oh, puppy training.
Puppy training. Yeah.
All of that nightmarish stuff. Yeah, I think that's what I would do. I can't really think right now.
All good. Okay, so the next question is, how do you learn to overcome jealousy of a close friend? For example, success, life, etc.
I think I know who asked this question, actually. And I'll probably say the same thing that I told them, is just to not internalize everything and take yourself out of the equation and put back some of the humanity into the equation, because a lot of times we lose sight that, you know, we think that we're going through a really difficult time, and then we see people with what you want. You know, they have what you don't have or what you're longing for at the time, and that makes you feel jealous. But at the end of the day, these people didn't do this particular thing in spite of you. So exactly. just with taking it back to my fertility, like I would get jealous, you know, I would get really sad, envious seeing people getting pregnant recently and things like that. But I had to take that out of it and just be like, you know what? They didn't say, hey, let's go make a baby to spite Antoinette. Like, no, it's not like that. That's their own journey, and everyone's got their own journey. And success is not linear.
Mm-hmm.
that Montessori lady said that. So you're going to have uphill climbs and downward times. But yeah, just don't take things so seriously. And you don't know what they've been going through or what struggles they might have gone through to get their happy family also. So everyone's going through something. So just be a little bit more compassionate. And maybe that'll help you overcome some of the thoughts of jealousy, I would say.
I very much echo your sentiment there, Antoinette, because something that I wanted to – I haven't actually ever shared this out loud, but when Aaron and Vinning were getting their house, I did have a jealous little pang because their house is a nice big house. And as the older sister, I was a bit jealous that Aaron was able to get a house that was so nice, you know? And so I never said it out loud, and I hope that Vinny and Aaron didn't feel that I ever showed it, because I in my interactions with them. But the way that I was able to overcome it was to actually acknowledge that, yes, I was jealous. I think that that's the first step, to acknowledge that you are jealous.
Yeah.
And then second, to, like you said, be compassionate and think about the fact that them buying a house or them doing a particular action, you're, as in me, I wasn't even in their peripheral. Like, what, they're not doing it to hurt me. It's to build their own life, you know? So really taking the time to reflect on the situation and think about how, as much as it can be hard, a hard pill to swallow, you're not the center of the world.
Yes.
The things that people do are not, they're not doing it to hurt you. They're doing it because it's for the benefit of their own life. So yeah, just remembering that you're not you're not the center of the world. And eventually you get over it, you know? Time helps.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just that first step with acknowledging how you feel, that jealousy is such a major step, because we all know that jealousy can direct to anger eventually. Because and like, you just seek someone to be vengeful towards for your jealousy.
Yeah, and then you start to show it in your actions. Like, eventually, it's like at the start, it's just this little pee in your brain kind of thing. But then as that anger builds up, you do have to let it out. And then sometimes you do lash out on people subconsciously. So acknowledging it for sure is, for me, it was the first step when I, in the process of getting over Aaron and Vinny having a beautiful house, which they do, and it's fine because their life path is different to mine, and that's okay.
And you have a beautiful home too, Audrey.
But like,
I'm very blessed.
In general, I'm a very like, for sure, we're all blessed.
I've got a question for you now specifically. So we've heard about Audrey's health and lifestyle hobbies, e.g. running. What else do you, Audrey, enjoy as self-care?
You know what? This question is actually kind of hard because I do use, like, a lot of my self-care does relate to me moving. Especially during lockdown, I find I've found that exercising has been the place where I can kind of just switch off and not think about lockdowns or any of the other anxieties I have. So this question is actually really hard because I don't really have any other things that I do as in terms of self-care. Some other things I guess that I like I can throw into there is I have this acupressure mat. Like a bed of it's like this mat where it's got spiky plastic knobs kind of thing. It's like a bed of needles. It's kind of like a bed of needles. And you just lie down on it, and then it like just relieves tension in your body. And me taking 20 minutes of my day to just lie down on it, not have my phone on me or looking at my phone, and just lying down and just being there with music on. I enjoy that. So a lot of my self-care things relate to me treating my body right. I don't have, I can't think of any other self-care things that I particularly do, honestly. And I'm sorry that I didn't quite answer this question. It's just because I don't. I find enjoyment in moving my body.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. And it sounds as though these self-care routines have somewhat become a conscious second nature behavior for you?
Yeah, like I've tried to make them a habit of sorts.
Yeah. As opposed to just making a conscious effort to be like, okay, I need a break and only because I need it now. But you tend to practice it quite often, which is a good sign.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, especially during lockdown. I think that taking this time to form habits that will benefit my body has been a priority. So that's why I've been like trying to be more regular with exercise, sleeping on my acupressure mat and so on.
Yeah. That is so good. I need to do that.
Yeah, you should. You should try it. It hurts at first.
Okay.
But like if next time we have a party or something at my parents' house, I'll get you to lie down on it. You can see how it feels. It's really good though. It's really good. I recommend it.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check it out.
So now, Antoinette, it's my turn to ask you a specific question made for you. Your personality is quite different from your sister's, Eloisa. So do you find it has major implications on your personal relationship inside and outside the podcast? Oh, great question. Whoever sent this through, good question.
Major implications within the podcast, I don't think so, because I think it gives us a very dynamic with our responses and our opinions. So I think that's really good. And I think Aloy brings a lot of that to the podcast. You know, it's a different kind of insight, especially because her personality is so bubbly and she does see the world in a better view, whereas mine's a bit hazed. That's great for the podcast. And it's good because within the podcast, we truly believe it's a safe place and anything that we can say is just, you know, just coming from our own thoughts and experiences. So it's good to bounce off each other in that regard. In terms of personal life, I think I don't think it's major. There might be some major flare-ups, I would say, but I don't think it has any lifelong major permanent implications because she's my sister after all, and anything that we say or do is something that we can work on. I still find it really refreshing that even in our personal lives, Loy and I still can butt heads on certain opinions because I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast where we talked about who we would be friends with outside of the podcast. I like people who challenge and stimulate me mentally, emotionally, everything. So she definitely does that for me, and she is there to challenge my thoughts, and she's also there to calm my thoughts, which is a really good balance, I would say. There are flare-ups, but we handle them in stride and take them in stride.
Wow. This is why people say that Antoinette's the articulate one in our podcast.
The thing is, I go on tangents though, so Audrey's nodding her head that entire time.
No, but it's a great answer. I don't really have any follow-up, unfortunately, but I think that like it captured the whole essence of the question. Far out. What the heck? How do you do that?
I don't know. I think I see what I want to say at the end. And then everything in between just kind of rolls off. Because I'm trying to explain the end result.
I see. I'm over here tripping over. I don't even see the end, you know?
That's okay. I love hearing Audrey talk. I love hearing your stories.
Oh, God. Oh, so bad.
Okay. So what is one important thing you feel your partner has taught you, Audrey, about yourself, besides patience?
You know, this is actually a good question. When Andy and I were first dating, how do I phrase this in a way that doesn't put Andy in a negative light? But we would have differing opinions about certain topics. So, for example, feminism. And the way that I would approach Andy if he had a opinion that differed from mine was that I would be very antagonistic. I would attack him from the get-go. I thought I would have valid reason for it, but it wasn't really opening the conversation as to why he had that particular view. So then I was kind of so the thing that he taught me is to, in those interactions, is to have an actual open conversation rather than coming in with fists swinging. And I think I've been able to grow in my ability to open up those conversations rather than being like, why do you think that? And then like in a really snarky tone, because it gives me the opportunity to understand where he's coming from before I lay out all my cards. And then if I am able to open up the conversation, then I have a better chance of potentially skewing his view into another way. Mm-hmm, and I think that being able to do that has seen great positive benefits within our within our relationship. So that's definitely one, because I used to be really like, really antagonistic towards the way that he would just read something on Facebook and be like, oh, what do you think? And I'd be like, I don't think that's good. Blah, 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 blah. You know? And it wasn't necessarily his opinion. He was seeking out my opinion for it. But then I would be upset that he was even questioning it to me.
Oh.
Yeah. So now opening up the conversation for sure is the thing.
Yeah.
How about for you, Antoinette?
That's really interesting. I like that answer, Audrey.
Yeah.
What has my partner taught me? I'm going to sway the opposite direction, because yours was very deep and really meaningful. And that was really insightful for me as well. I think he's taught me that in past relationships, I think I would mute myself a little bit because you know my personality, very outgoing, outlandish. I just say whatever I want sometimes within reason. Yes, obviously, I'm not like a freaking atomic bomb just
ready
to explode.
Ready to be dropped. Let's go.
I feel like I said to myself, I feel like our listeners probably think I'm a bit nuts.
Because
I am very outspoken. Like I'll say it how it is. And if I have an issue with something, I'll say it. But I, again, within reason, guys, like I'm not this major bitch. I am a bitch, but not major.
She's not seeking out like conflict to like butt herself into. It's just, within reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I muted myself in past relationships in hopes that maybe people would like my personality or would be able to take in my personality a little bit more. But Jerome has taught me, he's taught me in the way that he celebrates my flaws, and he celebrates, again, how I challenge him in conversations. And I love having intellectual conversations with Jerome about anything, whether it's something in the house or, you know, something that's happening in the world. And he celebrates that about me. And I think by just celebrating that aspect of me has made me come out in my shell and in my relationship with him a little bit more. And now that I think about the person that I am in my relationship, it's my true 100% authentic form, my final form.
Super Saiyan 5.
Super Saiyan. And I think about how I was in other relationships. And yes, they were very juvenile, young relationships, but I attest that to Jerome and his ability to just love me for every bitchy part of me, I guess. So he's taught me that.
That's really good that you're able to be, you're able to, what do you call it? Get into your final form.
Final form.
Yeah, your final form has arrived.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that people already know the answer for you for this one, but how many kids do you want and what would you name them?
So I want one kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, we would be blessed if we have one. Sorry, guys. It's a very sensitive topic, but I feel like I'm at a point where like I need to shroud myself in humor and, I don't know, positivity to try to just get through. What would I name them?
Do you have like boy and girl names?
We do have boy and girl names. So the girl name we're pretty set on. It's Rosalie, which is half of my mom's name and half of his mom. So my mom's name is Rose or Rosario, and his mom is Violetta Violi. So we really like the name Rosalie too. So that's that. For boys' name, we don't have a lot of boys' names.
I'm in the
However,
same
we because this once we are blessed enough to have a child, it would be our rainbow child. So a child born after miscarriage or stillbirth, if people don't know. So we would like the middle name for a boy to be Rain.
Oh.
Yeah. Now that's all
Why
we
not
have
the first
for guys.
Name?
Because I really like a powerful, strong first name.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be. We never know. Never know. But we thought that for a girl too, but yeah. Something about Rain. We like that.
Wow.
Yeah, like how about you?
I like the idea of having a junior, but a junior that's a girl for so you know how Ooh. Like it would be like Gerard Jr. or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I like it. I like the idea of having a daughter be the junior of the father. So I like the idea of a girl being named Andy. You can call her AJ.
I love that.
How cute is that?
I love slightly masculine names for girls. I love that.
Me too. Yeah. So I really like the name Andy for a girl. For boys, we're in the same boat. I don't really. And then we're stuck with the parameters that it has to start with A. Because like my father, my husband-to-be wants our kids to have the same letter as, like, the same starting letter as him. So we're stuck with A
letter. Well, it's you too.
Yeah, me too. But, like, it's so boring, you know? So boring. There's no names for A that, like, are nice for boys, I think. We were thinking Alex, but unfortunately, one, we used to have dogs that were named Alex and Andy, so it would make the pair my dog names.
You did.
Yeah. And then two, we have a friend that named their child Alex also. So the boy name is still not. Also, we wanted two kids. I would love to have two kids if possible.
Yeah, one of each?
If possible, but if it ends up being two girls or two boys, I'm open. This is me without having any kids, so it will very much likely change if I do have two kids. I'm open to having a third kid to try and see if we can get the other gender, other sex. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Whoa, we wanna.
Well, then my one kid can just hang out in your household and feel like they have siblings. Because I felt like me, Aaron, and Loy, every school holidays there was some kind of sleepover planned, some kind of outing planned. Even if it wasn't school holidays, maybe just like the night before or after tutoring. And it wasn't, we're not talking like, oh yeah, I'll pick you up tomorrow morning. Like sometimes we would just call our mom and just be like, we want to stay here.
Yeah. I just want to stay here, okay?
Yeah, we would stay two nights or like 3 days, like something ridiculous. But yeah, I felt like you guys were like pseudo siblings as well.
Agreed.
So I feel like our kids will be that for each other.
I hope that we're able to have our kids grow up in the, grow up together. That would be really nice. It's my dream. I hope that it happens for sure.
That'd be so cute. Okay, Audrey.
Yes.
What are three things you are most proud of?
This is a weird question because I don't know if it's three things I'm most proud of myself or like of other people. Does it make sense? Like for one, I'm just going to take it as whatever. So I'm going to just spread the net. So one thing I'm proud of is I'm proud of Andy for opening up his small business and be like actually sticking to it because it takes a lot of effort to open it for one, but then actually sticking to it is another thing that, you know, it takes a lot of effort. So the small business being his whiskey sample business.
Plug it.
I'm Highball Whiskey. I didn't want to be shameless, but here it is. But I'm very proud of the fact that he's been able to do that. Another thing I'm proud of is the four of us, Ates, for continuing the What Ates Said podcast because we could have just tapered off after lockdown last year when we were bored. But alas, we didn't. So I'm very much proud of the four of us for actually sticking to it also. The third thing, I'm proud of my brother for how do I say this? Like, It's hard for me to actually express, but I'm proud of my brother Aaron for being the adult he is. Like, because Aww. He's the bunso, he's the youngest in our family. Mm. You know, like, he's, and I've always kind of looked out for him. I'm so proud of the fact that he's been able to get to a point in adulthood where, you know, like, he's doing things that you wouldn't expect of the boy he was.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm always surprised and, like, pleasantly surprised by the fact that he's achieved so much. Because not that I was expecting him not to, but like the fact that he's the man that he is now, I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, very. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
If you're listening, love you, even though we don't say it, but it's all right.
Oh, that's cute. Were those three things? Those were three things. Yeah.
How are you going to take this question? Do you see what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's about myself or if it's about others.
Yeah. The top of my list, I would have to mirror what you said about the podcast, actually, is that, you know, we've remained resilient and our friendships are still very strong within that. Mm-hmm. And we've continued on to this journey, and it's been a really fun ride throughout. So
agree.
I'm really proud of that. The What Arta Said podcast. And all the girls. Secondly, I would probably say I'm really proud that I made it through that tough time last year, and I've probably mentioned it a billion times on the podcast. But going through a multitude of things, it wasn't just one thing, it was one after the other. I feel like that was something that could have taken me down really easily, especially with my history of mental health. But I feel like I feel stronger and I feel more empowered that I took that situation and I just crumpled it up and I chucked it out and I said, not today, Satan. I renounce thee. I just made it through. The third thing, I'm really, really proud of my parents. And thinking about it in lockdown, they're both frontliners.
Yes, they are.
And they're just, I always, like, when I was asked in primary school, who's your idol, it was always my mom or my dad. My dad worked two jobs. So he worked 7 days when I was in primary school to early high school. And he would still, you know, pick us up after work and stuff and take us home. I'm just so proud of them. I'm proud that they can live life happily and comfortably, and they too have made it out of a really rough time in their marriage, and they are where they are today, and still able to make other people smile and care for them and love them. And yeah, see, that's Benny, I told you. It's Benny this time.
Oh, please, I hope Russell and Yama don't like feel the shadow of Benny looming here.
So yeah, those are my three things.
Okay, so the next question, Antoinette, if you could travel in time, when would you travel to and why?
I would, and I said this to Jerome the other day, I would travel to when Jerome and I were first dating.
Oh,
back in 2008, late 2008, because I think about some of our first dates, our first kiss and stuff, and I'm starting to forget, Audrey.
Oh,
I know, and it really hurt my feelings the other day. And I asked him, I was like, when was our second kiss? Blah, blah, blah. Because I remember our first kiss, which is good.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, and I wish I could just go back. I don't need to relive it. I would love to just be a fly on the wall and just see it, because I don't want to change anything, because, you know, the alternate universe, once you change something, might change your future. But, I would like to do that. I would like to go back to maybe our very, very first date, because we weren't our very first date, we were still best friends, and he was like, hey, do you want to go for a movie? And it was really strange, because I was like, oh, yeah, it's Jerome, whatever. But then he was like, I just want to go with you. And I'm like, Now this is weird. I would want to go back to that and just that feeling of like pure giddiness. Like I'll never have that again, you know? So, yeah. So and cute. I don't want to forget that. So I'd go back then.
You should write down the things that you do remember now, unless you already have.
That's so a good idea.
In the next 10 years, you know, at least the memories that you currently have haven't been lost.
Yeah.
Again.
That's a good idea. What about you?
When would I travel to? I was thinking more like I would travel to the day before the 80 million Powerball a couple weeks ago.
That is a good answer.
Good thing that you went first because my answer is such a shitty, greedy person's answer.
Your answer is probably more relatable, though. Let's be real. Everyone's probably going, yes.
That's where I would travel to.
Yeah. Oh, you're good. That's a good answer.
You feel it? Yeah, you like it? Yeah, got it.
I like that one. Now we're going into the singles advice. Gee, Audrey, are you ready? Because, again, we have to take ourselves back.
Yes, we do. Quite a while.
What advice do you have for single people who feel like they may never be able to settle down? Maybe you would have some good insight on this, Audrey, because you started dating Andy after 21? You were, were you 20? Yeah. So you were in adulthood.
Yeah.
So did you ever feel like you're never going to find someone?
Honestly, no, not really, because I already had a first boyfriend at that point, and I was like, well, if I found him, I probably can find someone else.
Damn, get it, girl.
I feel like this would probably be like that mentality would not be present if I was as I am now, my age, 28, and I hadn't had a partner previously. I'd feel that things were even more dire, honestly. I'd feel like, oh, I'm never going to find anyone. I don't know if I have advice per se. I think that, you know, you just got to just, this is going to, you're going to hate this section, but like, you just got to keep doing you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that it's prime time for you to focus on yourself because once a person enters your life, it's no longer you. It's you. It's we, you know?
Yeah.
So take the time to enjoy it. You can do anything you want without asking for people for permission, you know, or like giving people the heads up or worrying about what your partner will think about you doing a certain thing. Like if you want to go to Bali for like a month, you can do it. You don't have to worry about what your partner wants to do. You know, I think that you really just need to take the time and treasure the time that you have by yourself. That I guess that's my advice, but I know that it is hard. Especially if you are in a friendship group where people are getting married, people are getting engaged, people are in the next step, what you think is the next step of your life's chapter. But I'm going to repeat this from just before. Your life path is different from your friends, your family, and so on. So try to just think of yourself and treasure the time that you have by yourself because it won't happen. You won't have it when you have your partner. Not saying that your partner won't let you do things, of course.
Yeah.
You have another person to consider.
Yeah. I agree. Kudos. Yeah, that was a good answer, Audrey.
Oh God. Oh my God. I was tripping everywhere. Did you feel it? Like
No.
Rolled my ankle.
I was with you on the train. Yeah. I would just mirror a lot of those sentiments and, you know, when I have friends who are in their 30s who are single and, you know, feel the pressures looming. And I see it in their face when we talk about our partners and then they start to talk about obviously trying to date. And it's just, you know, when you're in your 30s, it's a nice little time when you're young and you have time to spend with someone else because you're both learning and just enjoying the experience. But when you're in your 30s and you've established yourself and you've established what you want and what you don't want, like the last thing that you want to do is obviously settle for someone who's not going to not fit in entirely, because that's not how it works, but compromise with your lifestyle and what's the word I'm looking for? When you compliment your lifestyle. And then you might just be rushing into something that is not completely right. Yeah. And then you've just gone and wasted even more time. I just mirror everything Audrey said. Just enjoy this time to enjoy yourself and enjoy your time alone and figure out what it is you do and don't want before mm-hmm. you make compromises for who you will allow in your life.
Nice.
Because time is a hot commodity, you know?
Girl, it is. Very
Girl,
much so.
It is. Okay.
Next question.
Yes.
If you knew or found out that your best friend's partner cheated, would you tell your bestie?
Oh, yes. Bet.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Hell for sure. Yeah. For sure. Like, how would you do? Would you have a conversation with him and give him a heads up, or would you just go ahead and tell her?
Well, it did happen with me and Aaron. Me and Aaron. Uh-huh. It happened with me and Aaron. I gave the person in question a heads up. And I just let them know if they didn't tell Aaron, then I would be telling Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like I would give the person a heads up, give them a time limit. If they didn't get to the person by close of business, then I would be talking to my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the question is in regards to your bestie. So you would have some kind of a relationship with your partner too. So yeah, I feel the same actually. I didn't actually think about giving them a timeline. That's a good one, Audrey. I thought about approaching them first and telling them that, you know, I know, and I could potentially be telling them. But yeah, that's a good point to make is, you know what, if you don't say anything, I will.
Yeah. At least give them the opportunity, I guess. Not that they just, I don't know. It's shitty for them to have cheated for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would for sure let my bestie know.
Yeah, same. This one's a bit of a tough one. How conscious are you of being a person of color in your everyday life?
This is a tough one.
It is.
Why can't I ask it? You know what? In my everyday life, I'm not so conscious about it, but in those times in particular when there was a lot of Asian American
violence.
What would you say? Violence?
In the U.S. mostly?
In the
recently?
U.S. In the U.S. Mm-hmm. When there was a lot of attacks on that community in America, I was conscious of it even more so because I was worried about my own safety and about my friend's safety, given that, you know, it's not something that you can particularly hide in a predominantly white community, you know, white country. So I am conscious about it. The fact that I do look different. But I wouldn't say that it impacts the way that I carry myself in my everyday life. It might make me in those times where in the media, there are attacks towards Asian community, like that period of time in America, then yeah, I was conscious about it because I wanted to keep myself safe. So I would I would be a bit more hesitant of white people, if I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about this question, honestly.
Yeah. I would say the exact same thing, and I like how you said which is unfortunate for some because they don't have that same luxury in thinking the same way we think in when you said you do think about it. It's prevalent on social media and you think about it sometimes during your day, but it doesn't impact how you move or how you function throughout the day. Again, I want to reiterate that we are fortunate to think like that and have that sentiment because it's not the same for others. When I was younger, when I think about it, there were a few times in school or walking to the bus stop or going to the park where I did experience some racist attacks, and there were people my age at the time. So they were primary school kids too, which is horrifying to think about. you know, those kids being able to just say that to strangers, other human beings in the world. But it didn't affect me because I knew as a child they were just being ignorant.
Yeah.
Now, again, yeah, it's prevalent because we see it on social media. It doesn't create tension or discord in the way that I function or move out in the public, or doesn't make me have any kind of sense of paranoia, except for there was one time where this guy
I remember this.
Yeah, this was in lockdown. This was a few months ago, actually. He slurred like a racist remark at me while I was jogging. And I did think that was the one time. And it was around the time of the attacks on the Asian community in America where I did think, maybe I need to not wear certain leggings when I'm walking to minimize maybe the attention.
Yeah.
And maybe just maybe be a bit more formidable in how I walk and maybe not so that I was kind of more unseen. When I was in public, and
I feel you.
And that is really sad to think that you know, the effects of other people in different countries definitely do have a wave of effect of everyone around the world of people of color. But I think we are fortunate to not have the struggle as other people would and other different races and communities.
Agree.
Would.
I think that we're kind of we're lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And that's not to excuse or say that it's not happening in our backyard, guys. We're very much aware of that.
Yeah.
Anything else on that topic?
Not that I can think of, honestly. Yeah. It's a rough one.
It's a rough one. But I think I hope we did it justice. And yeah, we acknowledge that it is alive and well, guys. It's alive and well.
Very much so.
Okay,
let's go. Your question. Yes, my next question to you.
Yes.
Have you ever dealt with clashing of beliefs with your partner? And Have you ever dealt with clashing of beliefs with your partner? And how would or did you deal with it?
Certainly. How did we deal with it? I think now that I think of it, it was very much like your situation, Audrey, where like I was so passionate with just how I felt that I didn't really see any other opposing opinions or didn't want to really hear about it. But again, if you're going to have and say that you're going to have a conversation with your loved one, have a conversation. And that includes open and equal dialogue. And I think, just seeing it from their point of view and giving them the opportunity to explain why and how and the result of how, getting to the result of how they came to that final opinion is key. And understanding and just being open to that, I guess.
Yeah, this is very much in line with my answer previously. Just being open to having an open conversation. Like you said, if you want to have a conversation with them, you should be having an open conversation with them. Just speaking at them is not a conversation.
And hoping something will stick.
It's not gonna happen. So actually opening up the conversation with your partner and letting them have the floor to say what they want to say, because there might be there very well may be a reason as to where that opinion or belief came from. So let them open up their heart to you, because it's okay. And that's okay if they have a different opinion to you.
Yeah. That's cute. Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Do we still have you, Atez? We've got two questions left. Audrey and I are looking at the time going, we've been talking for ages, but we hope you're still there. Are you there, Atez? Okay, last two questions. What advice would you give someone who may have problems with their in-laws?
Oh, I had problems with my exes. ex's parents, and look, we broke up, so clearly I don't have to answer. Me personally, as the person on the side where the in-laws were against me, what I would have wanted from my partner is for them to stick up for me. You know, to give me the opportunity to change the in-laws' perspective of me, because I wasn't given that opportunity. And if they still don't like me after having been given that opportunity, then yeah, I guess that like maybe things potentially won't work out. But at least if I had the time to change their opinion of me, then it would have made me feel a bit better. Don't have any other advice. I think that for me personally, being in the shoes of the person that wasn't liked, I think it's on my partner's shoulders to help me through that time.
And
talking to my partner candidly about it, saying like, hey, your parents don't like me, can you please help me? Your parents, I'm not gonna be able to do anything without you being the conduit.
And I mean, they've lived with them their whole life until that point. So they would know their parents just as, you know, well as they might know you as well. So maybe helping kind of alleviate that stress and just make helping you create an understanding on their part until you can have that corrective monologue between you, if you can, or until your partner can talk to them and defend you or something like that. At least putting yourself at ease.
Yeah. Like, I think, you really need your partner to support you through this, because you're not going to be able to rock up to your in-laws' house by yourself and be like, hey, like me, or giving you this. Like, you know, they need to be, so in my opinion, if someone else has gone through a different scenario where they were able to get their in-laws on side without their partner, please share it, because I don't know. This is me being the person that was not liked and what I would have hoped for.
Yeah that's a good answer.
No, that's it.
I'm trying to think. I think you've covered it.
Guys, we're at the finish line. This is the last question, and the two Ates last episode didn't really answer it because they were scared of offending us. But so what do you think each member brings to the podcast? They didn't really answer it, like, because they were worried that they were like, oh, it's too spicy. It was hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? I feel like it's something that it's not like a surprise. Loy brings the bubbly, fun, fun experiences. She also has obviously some very deep and meaningful experiences that neither three of us have experienced. Mm-hmm. So she definitely brings insight to some deeper topics. Vinning, again, she's just so level-headed. And like in times where I might be riled up or Loy might be emotional or Audrey might be confused, she never puts a foot wrong and she just knows what to say. And it's always on key and always appropriate. And I feel like everyone needs a friend like that, that can just kind of... here, eat a slice of humble pie, and just remember to breathe. Like, I really appreciate that about Vinning. And Audrey, you bring like a really, really insightful innocence to some things.
Oh, I mean,
do you know what I mean? Innocent, not because you're naive. Innocence in the way that you aren't shrouded by things very easily. So you see things in different retrospect as opposed to black and white, which is really funny because you say that like when you butt heads with Andy, you're very like very on the attack. But I just think that's really refreshing when somebody can come into a situation and you know, not be prejudiced to any sides and be willing to listen, and then being able to contribute their genuine opinion on something is really refreshing. As an adult, I say.
Oh, that's really a lovely answer, Nat. Thank you.
You welks.
Okay, so it's my turn to answer. I agree with, God, it's going to be the worst. I agree with you for Aloysa because, you know, when you meet Aloysa, I'm like I said before, she wears her heart on your sleeve. So what you get is what you get. But she also has this part of her that, you know, is very vulnerable. And what she brings to the podcast is that level of vulnerability that, like, she really makes you feel like she's part of your life. Part of her life. And I think that it's something that is unparalleled to the way that we let you guys enter, we as in me, Vinning, and Antoinette, let you guys enter our lives. Vinning, she's the person in our podcast group that makes sure that things are done, you know? I feel like without, like, I think that sometimes we can be an indecisive group. And I think that Vinning brings this level-headedness where it's like, no, let's just do this. And it's like, okay, let's do it. Because everybody has an opinion of something, but then a decision isn't made. But then she'll just pipe in without hesitation. And yeah, I think that we need that decisiveness because, yeah, we're indecisive. And with indecisiveness, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Antoinette.
Oh, dear.
you're like the true big sis of the What Atta Said podcast. You know, I think that we all look to you to answer the hard questions because we know that you always have our backs. Like, you're so reliable. And yeah, like, you're so articulate with the way that you are able to express what we're thinking that it's, yeah, we can't have you in our group because, or else we would be a group of little sisses and our big sis isn't there, you know? So you're definitely the big sis of the group. And we all look to you because of that. Not just because of age either. It's just the way that you are. Like,
now I was going to say, is it age? Jokes.
No. Not at all. I think it's just, you're the true big sis.
Oh, like, thank you, Audrey. Big ate. Final form.
Final form ate. Release.
Thank you, Audrey. That was really nice. And I hope our ates, Aloysa and Vinning, we know you'll be listening, appreciate that. And it gives you the warm and fuzzies today.
It's a big hug from us.
Big hug. Wait, you're a hugger. I'm not a hugger.
Oh, okay. So it's a big hug from Audrey, and then Antoinette's in the background like,
An exception. I'll make an exception. It's a big hug from me. It's a big hug. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in and keeping up with us. Lord, how long has it been? But I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, even though it was a little bit of a long one. You've got a bit of variety in there. You've got some laughs. You've got some seriousness. Again, if you haven't yet listened to Loy and Vinning's Ask Ate What Ate Said podcast, have a listen to that. Quality content. Those girls are hilarious. But I think that's all the time that we have for Audrey. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for joining me. It was lovely to have a chat with you. Imagine if we had all four of us in this thing. It would go for 2 hours.
2 hours.
Oh, it already has gone for 2 hours.
Almost. So we're going to end it here. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day and enjoyed listening to us today. We post podcast episodes every Wednesday, unless, you know, we are on a season break. We are nearing the end of our season 2. Ooh, oh, we no. Are. We hope you guys are loving the content so far. And if there is anything that you want to share with us, if you want to hear from us, please do drop us a comment, a DM on our Instagram. That's at whatatesaid.podcast on Instagram. Like, share, and subscribe. Jokes. You can,
but not jokes, legit.
You can follow us on Spotify. You can download our podcast. And that's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts every Wednesdays, like I said. Yeah. Anything else to add?
That's all. Oh, wow. Can't wait till the next episode. Can't with the wait four of the us.
Yes, with the four of us. Thank you guys for having me back after 4 weeks.
Welcome
I
back.
Hope I wasn't all too rusty.
No, not at all.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. I've missed you and I can't wait to come back on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Audrey.
Bye-bye.